Hey, welcome to the Film Podcast. I'm Ricardo.
I'm Adam Scott.
You're always amused by how I just started off. Today, again, we're bringing you the Netflix recommendations for July 2015. If you guys are listening to this and it's far off in the future, I hope the world is still around. I hope some alien isn't listening to this.
I'm okay if an alien's listening to it.
And he's like, I'm just going to listen to this digital audio stuff that I found. And then just be weirded out that he's never seen any of these movies. He's like, what are movies? What are these? Diaries? So we're talking about the Netflix recommendations. We apologize for not having being slow on our episodes recently. We've been busy with trying to prepare for Comic-Con, which... we're going to have a lot of coverage of that, and then moving over to our bigger site, which is now live. You should go check out. It's popcultbinge.com. You can find us on Twitter at popcultbinge and on Instagram, same name. So check that out, and all our podcasts are now there. And in fact, the site for the film podcast, it will now redirect you to the film podcast location of the site on Pop Cult Binge. So check it out. And if you want to support us and want to help us, click on our Amazon link and at the bottom of the page. And, just go about your Amazon shopping. And it'll help the podcast pay for server space and all that stuff. But anyway... excited about this new website. Check it out. We're going to have a lot of TV. We have everything basically now. Music, TV. The music stuff is getting a slow start, but we'll start it next week with bringing you like all the new releases on music and stuff and, you know, all that good stuff. What else? What else should I talk about? That's it. I mean, just thank you for your patience. Sorry.
And sorry, sorry for not for having, your patience.
Sorry for your patience. You're lame. Thank you for your patience. While we, got all the sites set up and the, Comic-Con stuff ready for next week. So, like I said, next week, if you want, to keep up with anything, all the things we're doing at Comic-Con, whether it's TV panels, movie panels, the Star Wars panel, we will, bring it to you. Live as it happens. We'll be tweeting, Facebooking, all that stuff. So you know, subscribe to all that stuff. We're also on Facebook at facebook.com/popcultbinge. So check that out. Whatever you're on, whatever social media site you're on, we're probably on it. So check us out, follow us, and we'll keep you informed. So there you go. Is there any movie you want to talk about before we get to the recommendations that you've seen? I guess we should talk about Jezebel. Jezebel.
Jezebel?
Jezebel. It should have been a French film. Jezebel.
I mean...
we saw it over the weekend.
We did.
It's a horror movie.
It's a horror movie. It's a...
it's about a movie about a college student who... when she's about to move in with her boyfriend, her boyfriend suffers an accident and... it requires her to go back home to live with her estranged father. And shit starts happening. Shit starts happening with,
cause spooky shit,
spooky stuff at the house. Yeah.
I don't know if it's even,
I mean, it's coming to you. It's either at a second run theater or it's about to come out on DVD and Blu-ray in like a month or two, but check it out when it does come out. But we should just talk about it because we saw it. It's a new movie.
Newer movie.
Seen.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know where it is right now.
Yeah. It might be on demand as well.
It could be on demand still. Written by Robert Mangrant of Reno 911 and Thomas Lennon's co-writer.
They wrote The Night at the Museums and The Pacifier, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, they co-wrote it, but this one is just written by one of them.
This one is just Robert Mangrant.
Yeah. I didn't hate it.
I didn't hate it either.
I didn't love it.
I enjoyed it. I didn't love it.
But I didn't hate it.
But I didn't hate
it. I did enjoy myself. It's one of those movies where I feel like I wouldn't have left the theater disappointed. Do you know what I mean? I would have been like, oh, that was fun.
Yeah. It wasn't a terrible movie. It wasn't an amazing movie.
Yeah. What was your Letterboxd rating? I'm curious.
I think I gave it 3.
I think I gave it 3 as well.
I gave it 3 stars.
Right in the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. And the actress, I don't know her from anything else, and I enjoyed her a lot. And I just realized that the one of the lead male leads was Weber. He's been in like an Ethan Hawke movie. He's been in a lot of movies, but I didn't recognize him because he had lost so much weight. He's a skinny dude to start with, but he looked really skinny in this movie.
Oh,
so.
Mark Weber?
Yeah, Mark Weber.
Sarah Snook?
Yeah, I don't know her. Maybe she's from TV or something, but she was cool. I liked her. Like, usually sometimes you watch these horror movies and they get
really bad actresses.
They don't get A-list actresses to do these movies. So sometimes, like, it's a little over the top, or they don't know the tone of the horror that they're doing as opposed to the rest of the cast, you know? But everybody was on point.
I don't think you have to be good to... I don't know. I think there are a lot of good actors who aren't on the A-list.
No. It's not to... I meant, like... They don't get good actors. That's what I mean. Not A-list.
You were being
too
nice.
Yeah, I was being too
nice. They just get a lot of shitty actresses.
Yeah, yeah.
And actors.
And the thing is that it doesn't require a lot, like you said. It's just being... All it takes is you knowing what movie you're in. That's really all it takes.
Yeah, you have to be self-aware.
Yeah.
And, you know, a person.
Yeah.
Who understands how people react to things.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so we'll get into the list now. Netflix recommendations for July 2015. These are movies that are currently streaming on Netflix. Do you want to go first or shall I?
Why don't you go first?
All right. My first pick is from 1997. I still stand by this movie and by saying that it's his best movie. Yeah, I said it. I love this movie.
You're acting like I already know what you're going to say. I don't. I can kind of see your iPad mirror, but I don't know what's on it.
Jackie Brown.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I love Jackie Brown.
Yeah. I feel like it's kind of like people are like, I like Pulp Fiction. And like they like everything this one last. This is like the bastard child. This is like the Jon Snow.
Like this is the one where it's the least...
Him.
Quirky. Yeah. Like it's Quentin Tarantino's Elmore Leonard's Jackie Brown.
Yeah.
Or Rum Punch, rather. It's weird because it's his least derivative, sort of, but it's an adaptation, like a direct adaptation of something else.
Yeah.
I love it.
I really love it. I just recently rewatched it, and it's just so fun. I mean, all his movies are fun, but I like that it's not, it doesn't have that signature Tarantino things, you know, like it's not heavy-handed. That's what I mean. Like it's just he just lets the movie be, and it's just a fun movie. Like everyone's great. Like Pacino, so subtle. I mean Pacino, De Niro. Sorry, wrong guy. Pacino would have been cool in this too. De Niro, so subtle.
You're just all over the place today.
I know. Sorry. I should drink a little bit. I haven't been drinking.
Need to find your balance.
Yeah.
You know, I love it. It's a great, just straightforward crime story that you would think I don't know. He makes it look so easy. Like, I feel like that's my problem. I think there's another movie that's on Netflix now. I guess this will go into my first recommendation. I recommend that you don't watch Life of Crime.
Okay, which is another
Elmore Leonard adaptation.
Yeah.
And I feel like
in fact, it's a prequel to this.
It's a prequel to this.
Oh,
And John Hawks plays the De Niro character.
You were second guessing yourself.
And Mostef plays the Samuel L. Jackson character.
Yeah,
and I think part of the problem with Life of Crime is that Quentin Tarantino makes it look so easy to adapt Elmore Leonard and Jackie Brown that the writer-director of Life of Crime was just like, oh, yeah, I got this. And it just falls so flat. Have you watched it?
No, I haven't.
It's so, like, it's weird. Okay, this is a double-edged sword. It's like a recommendation not to watch it, but also it's kind of like a train wreck where you just have to see how bad you can fuck up Elmore Leonard.
Well, it's... Here's the thing. It might be a good lesson in, like, writing and filmmaking to watch both of them and to see, you know, like...
Yes. It's our double feature.
Yeah.
Life of Crime and Jackie Brown.
Yeah.
One is How to Do It
Right.
I would
say watch Jackie Brown second, because you cleanse your palate of the first one. Right?
This is true. Go out on a high note.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't want to go off on a low note and then...
Yeah.
I don't know. You may get really upset.
Although the thing is, it makes it weird going into... So if you've never seen Jackie Brown...
Well, if you've never seen Jackie Brown, we should describe what it is a little bit. It's basically... The story is about a flight attendant who becomes the key figure in a plot between the police and an arms dealer. And it's got a great cast. And it's just a really big ensemble cast that's really good and... really, really fun characters and stuff. And I like that, and this is a little trivia, but the character that Michael Keaton plays in Jackie Brown.
Oh, yeah.
He plays in Out of Sight.
Yeah, same guy.
The
Ray,
Steven Soderbergh's
his name.
Ray.
The FBI agent.
Ray Nicolette. That's the character's name. But yeah, I really enjoy this. And if you haven't seen it, check this out. And maybe don't watch...
I mean,
Life of Crime. If you're
looking for a movie to enjoy, don't watch Life of Crime. But if you're looking for a movie to like dissect and kind of figure out, do like a CSI crime scene of like where did this movie go wrong, watch Life of Crime, because it's trying so hard to be cool and it thinks that it's so cool and it's so awkward.
Yeah.
Like there's so many scenes where it's just like, this is a really awkward, like, I don't know, there's something about the music and the tone of the actors. It's kind of like a Cowboys and Aliens thing where people seem like they're in different movies. And it's just really like, there's comedic moments that are played in this really dry, unfunny way where it's like, this could have been funny, but I don't know if it was supposed to be as funny as you think it is. And it just doesn't really, and I feel really bad for like everybody in the movie. It's like John Hawks and Mustafa Yassin Bey or whatever name he's going by, and Jennifer Aniston and Will Forte and Mark Boone. Oh, what's his last name? The guy from, he's in Batman Begins and he's in.
Really good character.
Good character actor.
He's in Sons of Anarchy.
Sons of Anarchy. Yeah. Mark Boone Jr.
Yeah.
And like they're all really good actors, but there's something about this movie, like the script and just the direction just kind of muddle everything, and it's just not as entertaining as Elmore Leonard is. Elmore Leonard deserves a better movie.
It deserves
it's not the worst Elmore Leonard adaptation I've seen, but it's definitely one of the worst.
Really?
Yeah.
The worst one I've seen is the one with...
The Big Bounce?
Yeah.
The second Big Bounce. The remake of the one with Charlie Sheen and Owen Wilson?
Exactly.
I mean, I don't remember the original Big Bounce being that good in the first place either.
No, but it was pretty bad. I was like, oh man, why would you do this, you know?
It's really awkward. Like, it's another thing where it's like, wait, this is an Elmore Leonard story? It just doesn't feel the same.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So what is your first pick then?
That was my first. You inspired my first pick. It was the recommendation that you don't watch Life of Crime.
All right. Sometimes we have recommendations. Sometimes they're good. Like a watch this. Sometimes it's like, don't watch that. I like that. Cause a lot of lists are only like watch this, but you're saying, hey, don't waste your time with this movie.
Again, don't waste your time. If you're looking for something fun, if you have time to kill or you're like a student of film and you want to, or screenwriting and you want to study how something can fail, watch Life of Crime.
I feel like I have a little bit of everything on my list today. I got a little action, a little political thriller, and a foreign film. So my second pick is a movie from 2000, and it is a movie written and directed by Rod Lurie, and it is the thriller, the political thriller, The Contender. Have you seen this?
I still haven't seen The Contender.
I
really need to. I've been meaning to watch this movie since it came out, and I just haven't gotten around to it. Because it looks like something I'm really interested in, and I really like Joan Allen.
Yeah.
Jeff Bridges is awesome. And is it Gary Oldman?
Yes. Gary Oldman, yeah.
It's got a great cast.
So, basically, the movie is... Joan Allen's character. I was trying to figure out how to start it without giving anything away. So, Joan Allen has to, she's suddenly thrust into being vice president of the United States. And while she's, because the vice president at the time in the movie, I think he passes away, he dies. And so they have to nominate somebody to be vice president. And the president wants, played by Jeff Bridges, by the way, wants Joan Allen to be his vice president. And when she's nominated, these intimate secrets that may or may not be true come to light. And some people don't want her to be the vice president. So they're trying to take her down. And it's really well done. And it came out in 2000, and it was really cool because it's about whether your private life should be private when you're a public figure, mm-hmm. like that. Do you know what I mean? Like something intimate should be public or not, you know?
Gotcha.
And it poses that question, and I really enjoyed it. It's really well acted. Joan Allen, Gary Oldman, Jeff Bridges, Christian Slater, Sam Elliott, William Peterson.
Shit, I really need to just finally watch this movie.
Sal Rubinek. Yeah. It's streaming right now. And if you're in the mood for a political thriller, check that out. And Gary Oldman is fucking freaky in this. Just
he's
so
like
good.
The villain.
Yeah. He's like the guy who kind of
wants to spread.
Take her down. Yeah. And he has a great line. He says, "We're both pointing guns at each other. Only minds are loaded." And
I love that line. In the trailer?
Yeah. I love that line for some reason. But yeah, check it out if you're into that in that mood for a political thriller. It's a good movie. The Contender. Hmm. That's my pick. What do you have?
Okay. My next pick is, I think this might be my favorite of this director's movies.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, hold on, what year did it come out? Come on. 1996, Citizen Ruth.
Oh.
I really love Citizen Ruth. I think it's my favorite Alexander Payne movie.
Mm.
Like, I love Sideways.
What's the, the broad strokes synopsis?
Okay, so Citizen Ruth is, Laura Dern plays a drug addict who is arrested but turns out to be pregnant, and there's this whole political scandal comes to light because the judge says that she doesn't have to go to jail if she keeps the baby, but if she has an abortion, then she does have to go to jail or something like that. It's been a while, and I know I said it's my favorite of his movies. She's in the middle of an abortion debate because she's trying to, like, it's her freedom is in the balance also. And it's hilarious. Laura Dern's really good. She's like a glue huffer. So she's always like spraying spray paint into bags and like just huffing the hell out of it. She's really funny. Kurtwood Smith is in it. Burt Reynolds. What's the guy who plays? I feel bad that I can't ever remember his name. And the only character whose name I do know of his is Swamp Thing from Con Air. MC Gainey.
Oh,
MC Gainey,
okay.
He's in it. I don't know. It's just really funny. It's very politically charged. And that wry, dry Alexander Payne kind of humor.
Yeah.
For
people who don't know, he did About Schmidt.
About Schmidt.
Sideways.
Sideways, Election.
Yeah. And his last one was the black and white movie.
Nebraska.
Yeah, Nebraska.
And then The Descendants.
Yeah. That was really good, actually.
Is that it?
Yeah.
I think that's all of
them. Small catalog, but great movies.
Yeah, this one's my favorite. Just because it's so fucked up.
Citizen Ruth. Nice. All right. My next pick is, I'm trying to keep with this trend of recommending one Jean-Claude Van Damme movie each episode, each one of these
episodes.
You're
going to run out of movies eventually.
Eventually, but I feel like by enough time they'll circle around and they'll put in other ones, you know, and he'll make other ones, you know. This one's from 1989. We haven't covered this in our Canon Films episode, but we'll eventually get to it. We haven't gotten to 89 yet. I think we're on 86 on that series. But anyway, it's from it's produced by Canon Films. It's called Cyborg. Have you seen this?
Oh, I've watched Cyborg countless times.
So it's a good movie.
It's good. It's kind of, I don't know. The villain was always scary to me when I was a kid.
Yeah.
With his crazy blue eyes.
And he's got braids, like dreadlock braids. And he's got like these crazy futuristic glasses.
Yeah.
And he's got blue eyes.
And the, like the chain mail that he's wearing.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, long story short, it's post-apocalyptic. It's a plague-infested urban dump of a future, and Jean-Claude Van Damme is assigned with the task of like getting this girl to safety. That's all I'll say. It's just post-apocalyptic with Van Damme. That's all you need to know. It's really really cool. It's early Van Damme. I think it was his like fourth film, really really early in his career, and it's really well done. It screened the first time, I think, and it like had like the original cut was really horrible, and then they I don't know if it was a producer that took it back and re-edited, but it ended up turning out really well. I really enjoy the movie. There's a lot of cool like behind the scenes things that like cool and bad things that happen. One of the bad things that happened is Van Damme accidentally roundhouse a guy. Like, I mean, not accidentally. It was a stunt that went wrong, and one of the guys, stunt guys, lost his eye.
Yeah,
that was unfortunate.
It's a bummer.
Well, that's how you know Van Damme's just got a powerful fucking roundhouse kick, dude. Fucking made a guy lose his eye, dude.
Yeah,
you don't want to get kicked.
How you know that Van Damme needed to learn how to make his mark. Like how to hit his mark and not overshoot the mark and kick a dude in the face.
This was also the last movie that had a theatrical release from Canon Films.
Really?
They went bankrupt in 87, and this is the last movie they released theatrically. What else? There's a lot of behind the scenes things that I'll get to on the Canon Film series, which you should check out. On this podcast. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff. But basically, they took away most of his Van Damme's lines. And I like it because it's like a futuristic Western. Like, Van Damme doesn't do a lot of talking. He's like a, you know, like a Clint Eastwood type.
Mm-hmm.
And he lets his fist and his legs do the talking.
Fists and his feet.
Yeah.
Just like yelling.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a scene where they're looking for him in like these tunnels, and then like the shot like widens, and there's this dude like looking for him, and then like the shot widens, and you see Van Damme, and he's doing the splits, and he's above the dude. So he like walked while he was doing the splits all the way to the top. But yeah, check it out if you get a chance.
I haven't seen it in such a long time. I wonder if it's everything I remember it being when I was a kid.
I think Angelina Jolie was in like the third sequel to this.
She's in the second one.
She's in the second one?
The second one
Elias
is
Koteas?
Elias Koteas and Jack Palance.
Wow.
And it makes like no sense.
No, it doesn't. I've seen it. It makes no sense. And it doesn't make sense as a sequel or on its own.
As a movie. Yeah. It doesn't make sense. It's just like, what is happening here?
I feel like they had money to make the movie, and then like they're like, let's hire somebody to put it together. And they're like, we ran out of money for an editor. And then it's like, well, my cousin knows Final Cut, and he has an Avid. You know,
before Final Cut.
Yeah, all right. He's like, my friend has an Avid. You know, he's just learning, and they're like, oh, all right, have him edit it together.
Who's gonna do the effects? Just shine a flashlight at the camera a lot.
Yeah, that's horrible.
Hold up some gauze over
yeah,
the lens.
Yeah, just put some Vaseline on the lens.
Get a bunch of laser pointers.
Yeah. But yeah, from 89, Cyborg. That was my pick. Go for it.
Okay. I know that I've talked about this movie at some point, probably in multiple occasions, but now you have the opportunity to watch it on Netflix. It's 1978's Invasion of the Body Snatchers with Donald Sutherland, Jeff Goldblum, the unfortunately late Leonard Nimoy, and Brooke Adams.
Nice.
Brooke Adams looking pretty hot.
Give us a little synopsis of it.
Okay, well, I mean, where do we even start with Invasion of the Body Snatchers? I don't even understand how they even end up discovering.
This is like the first this remake?
Yeah. So there was the 1950
something version.
And then there was this version. And then there was Body Snatchers in the 80s, and then there was Invasion in the 2000s.
Okay. Invasion was the one with Nicole Kidman?
Yes.
That one was pretty bad, right?
So 56, 78, I want to say 89. And that was the... Oh, come on, I can spell. Abel Ferreira one?
Oh, yeah. I've only
93,
seen
93. I was wrong.
I've only seen this one.
You've only seen the 78 one.
Yeah,
I really like the 78 one. It's the first one's so good too, though. Kevin McCarthy is so good, and he has a cameo in this one.
Really?
Like at the end of the 54, 56, whatever I just said, is him like running around the streets saying that they're coming, and then he's got a cameo in the 78 one where he's running in the streets saying that they're coming. It's pretty cool. And then, what's her name? So somebody in this group of friends who slowly realized that people are being replaced by pod people.
Yeah.
And Veronica Cartwright is like one of their first friends who she's convinced that her husband is not her husband. And none of, like, Donald Sutherland and the rest of the group of friends don't believe her. Mm-hmm. And then she's the one who has the cameo in not the 93 version, but the 2007, Nicole Kidman version, she's the one who has the cameo as the person who's on to everybody. And I kind of like that they do that all the time. They have the callback. Yeah, the callback to the other movies. But it's a really great cast. I love the like weird screaming pointing that they do, like the body snatched people do when they see someone who's still human.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the best endings, one of my favorite endings ever of a movie. I'm not going to spoil it. You should see it. Sutherland's great. Goldblum's great. Something creepy about the body snatcher. They just want to take you over.
Yeah, yeah. I don't.
And this is the one where they do like the crazy. They start having more advanced special effects, and so like a homeless guy and his dog fall asleep next to each other. The whole thing is they take you over and steal your bodies or whatever while you're sleeping, and a homeless guy and a dog end up being merged in the same pod. It's so creepy.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. Love it.
Ugh. All right. And that one's from 78, you said?
78.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. My next pick is from 1998. And it is a movie called Jerry and Tom. Yes. That's not Tom and Jerry. It's Jerry and Tom. It's really, really cool movie. I remember seeing this as a play first and then discovering that it was a movie as well. So I went and rented it, and it's really, really cool. I like it. It's a small little crime thriller movie. It's got elements of comedy as well. Crime drama, sorry. And it's directed by Sal Rubinek, by the way.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. And it is basically its story is about these two hitmen, Jerry and Tom, and they moonlight as hitmen, but they work during the day. They work in a third-rate secondhand car dealership, and one of them is a veteran played by Joe Mantegna. He plays Tom, and the young rookie hitman, the guy coming up, is Sam Rockwell. He's Jerry, and it's a really, really young Sam Rockwell. And their boss is played by one of their bosses is played by. William H. Macy. And it's got a bunch of people in it as well. It's got Ted Danson's in it. Charles Durning is in it. But it's a really cool little crime drama about this old and young hitman kind of interacting with each other and having these, at points, these weird existential kind of conversations about the job they do and stuff. But it's really, really well acted, and I really enjoy it.
I still haven't seen the movie. I've seen the play Once Upon a Time. I need to watch the movie. I
mean, did you like the play? I like the play.
Yeah, I enjoyed the play.
Yeah. It's one of those ones, sometimes you go see a play and you're like, oh, man, this is a long fucking play, dude. You know? Like, but maybe it's because of the topic that really interests me, but like, I really enjoy this play a lot. Like, I've seen it done a couple different times, and I've been like, oh, yeah, like, I think this is cool. This is the type of theater I get behind, you know? When there's a little gunplay, you know?
Well, it's not a musical.
It's not a musical, yeah. As long as there's no one singing, I'm good. But again, that's Jerry and Tom from 1998. And check it out. What's your next pick?
My next pick is just because I watched another movie of his, but it's not anywhere yet. I'm going to go with the Mads Mikkelsen movie, and I'm going to say The Hunt.
Ooh.
Directed by Thomas Vinterberg, starring Mads Mikkelsen, about a teacher who was accused of touching one of his children, one of the kids that he watches inappropriately, and the sort of fallout in the town around him. One of those movies that makes you want to punch a kid in the face.
Yeah.
Because the kid makes it up. Like, I don't think I'm spoiling anything. I'm pretty sure it's very clear in the trailer that he's being falsely accused.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very similar to an older movie and actually a play, The Children's Hour.
Yeah, yeah.
But this is a much darker. It's weird to say that this is darker than The Children's Hour, but it is darker than The Children's Hour just because it's centered more around, well, it's about a man and it's centered around his relationship with this other man. I don't know. There's hunting involved. Mm. It's pretty dark. But Mads Mikkelsen, I can't get enough Mads Mikkelsen right now.
Yeah. Have you seen Charlie Countryman?
Yes.
He's good in it.
So good in that.
Like, he comes in and just steals the show.
He does. Yeah. Yeah. He, villain, hero, whatever. Mads Mikkelsen, I can watch him.
Yeah.
Just stare someone down.
Yeah.
To no end. Like, he doesn't have to say anything. He can just do that cold stare. It's like, yeah. Just creep him out.
Yeah. He can be a creepy good guy or even creepier bad guy.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, I like Thomas
Vinterberg.
Vinterberg.
Celebration.
Yeah. Celebration is really good.
Yeah, one of the best Dogma 95 movies.
Yeah. That's where he came from. I was trying to figure out where he came from, but he's from Dogma 95. Dude.
Yeah.
Another one is Lars von Trier.
Von Trier.
Yeah. I like this guy better than Lars von Trier.
Well, this guy seems more...
Not crazy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Less of an ass?
Yeah. Well, I mean, Lars von Trier, like, has always been on drugs. Just until recently, he stopped doing drugs, and he's like, fuck, I just watched my movies. He's not on drugs. And a little crazy.
Less provocative, but not, yeah. Like not, I'm not talking about his movies, like, just personally provocative.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I feel like Lars von Trier is always kind of trying to piss somebody off, and Thomas Vinterberg is just, like, a dude who makes good movies.
Here's the difference, is that Thomas Vinterberg lets the movies do the talking. Meaning,
yeah.
I don't know what he looks like, but I know what Lars von Trier looks like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because he's a character unto himself. Yeah, this I like this director a little better. So The Hunt, it is on Netflix. All right, my last pick is a foreign film from a director I really, really love. I haven't seen this. I've only seen the first quarter of it. I will confess to that. But I loved it, and I wish I would have seen it in theaters in 3D. It's from 2014, so last year, and it was nominated for Best Foreign Film Academy Award, and it is Jean-Luc Godard's Goodbye to Language. Did you see this?
Yeah, no, I wanted to. I wanted to try to see it in 3D.
Everyone
but
was saying, like,
I couldn't find it. Or, like, when I was aware of it,
that was
like,
one of
where,
the things. Yeah.
And, like, who's got good 3D?
I could only see it in regular 2D. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, it's in 3D. I might as well go see it in 3D. And it's a really good, if you know the work of Jean-Luc Godard. He's just, I mean, and if you love French New Wave, you know what that is. You know what he's all about. And now imagine that a movie like that, but in 3D. That's interesting to me, you know?
Yeah. I feel like I haven't watched it still just because I'm like, what's the point? Because I was supposed to see it in 3D.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm still going to watch it. I am bummed that I didn't get to see it in 3D in the theater. I would like to. I hope they do like a revival or something soon.
Yeah. Well, and by the way, now that we're talking about in theaters and stuff, we're going to eventually have a section on our website that if you are a LA local, we're going to be posting all the revival cinema that you could see around town. We're going to have a little section where our friend Sean Wicks will be posting all the stuff that's playing, like at the Egyptian, at the Cinematheque, and like the Arrow and all that stuff.
New Beverly.
Yeah, yeah. Because there's a lot of good stuff that's being shown around town here in LA. So if you're local or you're on vacation and you want to check out something old on 35mm, well, we got you covered. I think that's going to start after Comic-Con, that coverage. But yeah, I hope they do like a double feature of Jean-Luc Godard eventually at the Egyptian and they play this. They just showed Band of Outsiders at the New Beverly.
Mm-hmm.
So I missed it. But anyway, that is my last pick of the night. It's a foreign film. It's in French, so.
Oh, yeah. My last one was foreign, too. It's in Dutch.
Dutch, yeah.
Danish.
Yeah. What is your last pick?
Okay, my last pick. So you picked one of the movies that I watched all the time when I was like 10.
Cyborg?
When you picked Cyborg.
Mm-hmm.
This is a movie I watched all the time. Like, all the time. I cannot emphasize how much I watched this movie when I was like 16. What's Eating Gilbert Grape?
Ooh, that's a weird movie to watch when you're 16.
All the time.
Why?
I don't know. I just love this.
It's a really dark kind of movie.
It's a really dark, weird movie. And like I was 16, I just watched it all the time.
This is a movie where I watched it when I was younger. And then I watched it after film school.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that's why DiCaprio is so good. That's why like you can never say he's just a pretty face. Like, he's amazing through and through.
Well, because 10, I'm watching Cyborg and whatnot, and then like middle school is when like Romeo and Juliet came out.
Yeah,
and well,
I think we're about the same. We're around. He's like a year, like 2 to 3 years older than us, I think.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I remember just hating on him in middle school because all the girls liked Romeo and Juliet. Like, that's stupid, Romeo and Juliet. And then you stop and you like take a step back as you're older and you look at Romeo and Juliet. You're like, oh no, this is actually a really good movie.
Yeah. I mean, like, forget that it's modernized. Forget that. Like, just talking about the Shakespeare text. Just break down the Shakespeare text and what the acting he's doing around that.
Yeah.
He's delivering that text.
A really good movie.
Yeah.
And then, so, as I'm getting older and I stop having a grudge against Leonardo DiCaprio because all the girls in my middle school...
You guys squash the beef.
Yeah. Yeah. Squash the beef. And... so you revisit What's Eating Gilbert Grape, which came out before Romeo and Juliet. And he's just so fucking good.
Yeah.
And you're like, you forget. Like, I remember that's one of those things where it was like a disconnect where you forgot, like, in between the time when What's Eating Gilbert Grape came out and Romeo and Juliet, you forgot that he was in What's Eating Gilbert Grape because he's so convincing as a mentally handicapped person.
Yeah.
You're like, oh shit, that's right. He's not. Like he's a regular dude.
Yeah.
He's so good in this movie, and he's so young. But Johnny Depp, Mary Steenburgen, John C. Reilly, Juliette Lewis, Crispin Glover. It's Lasse Hallström directing.
Yeah.
I don't know why 16-year-old me fell in love with this movie so much, but I did, and I just watched it all the time. And I don't know. It was something – something about – The wanting to leave your hometown.
Yeah.
Like, when you're 16, like, you're reading, like, Jack Kerouac and you're watching What's Eating Gilbert Grape and you kind of identify with Gilbert Grape and, like, his desire to leave his hometown. And, like, he just feels stuck there.
You grew up in San Diego.
San Diego County, yeah.
Yeah. It's a big city in some parts, right?
Yeah.
In some parts,
the county, it's a huge county. It's a huge county because I'm not from San Diego proper. I'm from a suburb of San Diego. Yeah. It's just easier to say San Diego.
Yeah.
Savannah gives me shit for it all the time. So you're not from San Diego. I'm like, whatever. People don't know where Vista is.
Yeah. Well, I'm wondering if you like, it's interesting to hear you say, like, you have that, like, small, like, wanting to leave and you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, see, that's I think that kind of ties into the same thing with saying you're from San Diego.
Yeah.
Because Vista is like a little small town that people just kind of drive through on their way to San Diego.
Yeah.
Or on their way from San Diego to Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And I don't know. The movie opens with Gilbert Grape talking about how everybody, like their summers or whatever, begin with the caravan of trailers driving through their town, but nobody actually stopping. And I don't know. They really resonated with me. If you live in a small town, I think this movie will speak to you, especially if you're 16 years old and listening to this podcast for some reason, and you live in a small town. Watch What's Eating Gilbert Grape if you haven't seen it.
And Johnny Depp does some like really good straightforward acting.
Yeah, no, he's no not character doing, stuff. No crazy character walk.
No prosthetics.
No hats.
No. Just long hair.
Just long hair.
Yeah. That's his character trait.
Yeah. And him and John C. Reilly and Crispin Glover are really funny together. I don't know. It's just...
I want another movie with DiCaprio and Johnny Depp. Just playing straight, you know, like just regular characters. Maybe a sequel to this movie. Johnny Depp's still taking care of his brother, you know? But yeah, I was thinking you were mentioning like small town stuff, and it's weird like not having that, you know? Like, because I mean,
you grew up here.
Yeah, I grew up in LA, and I grew up not like, I mean, I grew up in like the suburbs, but like not really. Like, I went to school, like, you know.
Well, you're the suburbs here. The suburb that you grew up in here is much closer to the city than Vista. Like Vista, where I grew up, is 45 minutes away from San Diego.
Yeah, and
but it's still San Diego County.
I'm like 15 minutes away.
Yeah,
and like I mean, I grew up in the city. I didn't like. Yeah, I was kind of raised in the suburbs.
My neighbors had chickens. Okay, my neighbors had chickens and geese and ducks.
Yeah.
And peacocks. That's the city. That's the town I grew up in. Savannah makes fun of me because she says that my town it wasn't a small town because it's bigger than her town. It's still a small town.
Yeah.
It's a little country town.
Where she grew up, it's LA. Like, she grew up in a city.
Yeah, she could drive to LA.
Yeah, yeah.
Her town might have had a smaller population than my town.
Yeah.
But she was
still,
so much closer to a major metropolitan city.
Yeah. And, like... It's weird, like, growing up, like, that, because I don't have that. I don't have, like, man, when I grew up, I want to move into this. Like, it's like, oh, man, it's hot. I don't want to move into downtown. It's horrible. There's so many people there.
Yeah, no, one of the major plot points in the town is that when they get, like, a burger barn or whatever, and, like I remember stuff like that happening. That's like, oh, shit, we're getting a Sonic. There's a Sonic coming.
It's coming next year.
We got a movie theater. Oh, my God.
Yeah. But, yeah, so What's Eating Gilbert Grape?
I love it still. It's my number one pick. Watch it on Netflix. Feel
love
nostalgic.
It. Yeah. All right. That's it. You have any honorable mentions you want to talk about?
I don't. There's so much. There's so much on
there. Save it for next episode.
Yeah.
All right. Like we said, sorry for not keeping up to date with this episodes, but as soon as Comic-Con's over, after the week of July 13th, we'll be back in full effect with this podcast and many others. We have a TV podcast called Previously On Podcast. We're going to have a couple friends join us and stuff, but like we said... support our friends that they're not on our website, but still support them. There's the Coming Soon cast, and that one, they just watch trailers and they discuss them. It's pretty cool. It's short and sweet with our friends Sean McHugh and Vito. And then our other friends at the Popcorn Podcast with Chad Osuna and Isola. Every time I see her on Twitter or something, I second guess myself with her name. Like, I'm like, I know it's Isola, but is it Isola? I don't know. You know,
like canola.
Yeah, Isola or Isola. But then, like, I just say it with confidence, and it always comes out. It always comes out right. So I just got to be confident about how I say people's names. All right. So again, check us out on. We're still on Twitter at the Film Podcast. Check out our website at popcoldbinge.com. And at popcoldbinge.com on Twitter and Instagram. All right, like we said, if you want to keep up to date with all the stuff that's happening at Comic-Con, follow us on all those social media websites. And until next time, hey, have a good weekend.